Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard, Trevor Sikkema on a Fan Friday, getting you guys acclimated. We had a ton of action. We had all the fourth preseason games for every NFL teams last night. We had the beginning. Or the, man, not the beginning. I guess the football technically started 30, the day before. But
30 teams played, right? Because the Texans and the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Yeah. And, yeah, so we had tons of action last night on that front, and then college football really getting underway, I would say. Some of the more high-profile matchups, some scary moments for Ohio State. And we've got, of course, your questions to talk about. So Fan Friday's loaded up, my man. It's going to be a good day.
Ready for it.
Are you ready for it?
Let's do it.
You sound like you're a little lethargic still.
No, I'm just thinking. There's a lot that happened the last 24 hours for me for the Bucks and everything.
But Bucks we'll fans get chewing that. You out. They're coming at your neck, bro.
we'll get to that at the end of the podcast. But yes, let's fire away the questions.
Okay. Was Patrick Mahomes' sideline throw tonight the best you've ever seen, or was it the best anyone's ever seen?
Go.
So Seth Keiser, who's a great Chiefs fan, if you're a Chiefs fan out there, make sure you follow Seth Keiser. He is at RealMN Chiefs fan. On Twitter, he's a great follow and does a lot of good breakdowns. Good dude. Patrick Mahomes' sideline throw was an amazing toss, and he had another one that was a really nice toss too. I believe it was last night. And then he had like three almost picks. I think two of them were picked. I don't even
Not
know.
Important.
I mean, I know. We're here for the hype throws, but
it is funny though. I can't remember who tweeted this. I don't remember who was a big media guy or was just a fan, but they tweeted the Mahomes sideline throw and they said something like, I know we try to get creative sometimes and find different ways to compliment plays, but he said like, I don't understand how human beings can do this. And like the throw is incredible. Don't get me wrong, but like many people have made sideline throws like that.
Right.
Like the Bucks or like the Gators 4-star quarterback coming in next year had a highlight play 2 weeks ago where he basically made that throw. So like the human beings not being able to make it was a little bit far, but still that throw definitely ascended him above Brady, in my opinion. And so
that's what it was like though, man. That's what it's like on social media. It's like unbelievable. And I'm looking now, he actually one of the plays, Mahomes was definitely intercepted. It must have been called back by a penalty because I saw the clip going around on Twitter as well, though it was getting a lot less publicity because people were in their glory. But that's the thing. You know, it's fun to talk about his highlight reel throws, but people were legitimately saying, look at this throw and how can Alex Smith keep his job over this? I was like, geez.
Well, the second part's definitely true.
I mean, I definitely am not an Alex Smith fan, but
it's so weird with the Chiefs because you can't, there's no like easy transition into him, right? You know, like they're just two totally different players.
And you know, Alex Smith is not going to win a Super Bowl. Like he's not going to do it.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
Like he's not going to beat Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Brady. Your best hope is that those guys get injured. You know, even, I don't know. I mean, the Chiefs did beat the Raiders twice last year, so I'm not going to say they can't beat him in the playoffs, but you know, whatever the case situation may be, at the end of the day, it's just like Alex Smith is good. He's solid. You're probably going to get to the playoffs with him in that roster. You're just not going to get further. So it's like, when do you, you're right. There's no easy transition. It's so hard if you're Andy Reid, because there's a limit to what you do with Alex Smith. And maybe you ride that out this season and get to a good record, make sure you're locked in. And then Mahomes is more comfortable. And then you turn it over to him. To me, that's probably the ideal situation. But I mean, I think Mahomes has played pretty decently in this preseason, but I mean, there's the highlight reel throws, and then there's the just what are you doing throws that are the same from college. So, you know, has he shown growth? I don't think he's shown growth at all. I think he's generally the same player. So you're going to get a very high balance player. Like, that's what you're going to get. How do you evaluate a defensive lineman's use of hands? I see some players that don't appear very active that are lauded for their use of hands. Bryce Rosler. I don't know which players.
Just watch the Bosa brothers.
Yeah, honestly, watch the Boza Brothers. I haven't seen much of Nick, but Joey, straight up amazing.
Incredible. Incredible, man.
This is kind of a broad question, I think, Bryce. I don't know if you're talking about pass rushing or run defending or both, but to me, it's, you know, if we're talking about just controlling the line of scrimmage and use of hands in that regard, to me, it's full arm extension, hands inside. You don't want your hands out wide on the shoulder. You want chest control on the inside. And then, you know, the ability to play low and leverage with good knee bend is going to help you sustain that type of contact. But as far as just the hands, I'm looking for full arm extension. I'm looking for hands inside, and I'm looking for the ability to use your hands violently, whether it's with a punch or with a push pull or just ripping off of a player, but whatever it might be, to make sure you are getting off blocks consistently. So that goes into some of the use of hands. And then if we talked about pass rush, we could be here all day talking about the different ways you can use your hands. But you know, as a run defender, as a line of scrimmage defender, you know, those are some of the things that I'm looking for. Zach says, what's a sport you didn't play growing up, but you feel like you would have totally dominated if you did?
Oh, totally.
I honestly think hockey. This is funny that this question came up. I never played hockey because it's like real expensive. My parents didn't want to like spend the money to send me, you know, to play hockey. And I wasn't really that into it as a kid, but now like I am, as I got older, I was more into it. And then I played deck hockey a lot. And, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm pretty decent at this, but it's totally different skating. But, you know, and I can skate, but not like well or anything. And so I would have liked to have, you know, tried that out and see what I could do on an ice rink.
You know what's funny about that is that are you from Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're from Pennsylvania. I'm from Florida. I actually played hockey from when I was 5 to when I was 13. And like, humble brag, like I was really good.
Did you dominate?
I was really fast. Like I played on travel teams, like went around the country and everything. And really? Then, yeah. I was really good at it. Roller and ice. And then, that's why I love the Lightning so much. But then when you turn 13, or at least it used to be this way, when you turn 13 is when you can start checking people. And I was such a small kid that I couldn't get away from people like I used to, and I would just get bodied. And so like 1 year into being able to full check, I was like, I hate this sport. I'm done. So I really wish I would have stuck with it because I was pretty dang good. But a sport I didn't play, I don't know, like tennis maybe, because I played a ton of sports. So I don't know. I never played football, but I can't say I'd be good at it because I'm not big in athletic.
You're
that
quick.
Way,
so. You're kind of
I
quick.
Am like – I could maybe have been like a slot receiver, yeah. But you know, keep the small white
return
stereotype.
Guy. Yeah, oh yeah, you definitely keep that stereotype alive for sure. So. Who's a famous quarterback bust that you feel like you feel like could have turned out better if you were given the opportunity to coach them yourself? Oh gosh, I don't know if I'm coaching them myself.
Marcus Vick. Who? No, I'm just kidding. Who'd you Marcus say? Vick. I'm just kidding.
Marcus Vick. Oh man. Man, that is a tough question. Let's put it in the light of if they had better coaching or, you know, playing experience. You know, David Carr comes to mind just because I think he was in a terrible situation. You know, and I think in a better situation, he could have been a solid quarterback at least. I'm not sure anybody would have been better with me coaching. I'm not a QB guru. I mean, even in high school, I coach offense and defensive line and, you know, you can give me the backs and you can give me the linebackers to a degree, but not quarterbacks. You don't want me working there.
Do you think Vernon Adams could have been anything if the situation was different here and there?
No, I don't think. I mean, could he have made?
That's fair.
No,
I don't know. Just because I know you weren't on the super hype train of Vernon Adams, but plenty of people were, and there's plenty of tape that he had at Oregon or East Washington or wherever he played, where it's like. He showed some, you know, momentous, like, quick reaction, instinct kind of things where you're like, wow, you know, he's got kind of a cold-blooded to him. He can play out of structure, all that kinds of stuff. And so I just wondered because, you know, obviously the NFL didn't think very highly of him. And that's probably why. But,
and then the CFL either.
Yeah, right. And so I just wondered if he was a guy. I mean, Jamarcus Russell, if his life had been different, you know, outside of football, that's something – that I don't know about coaching or whatever, but like this kid was super talented coming out of LSU. You watch his game tape and it's crazy. And then, you know, he has those deaths in his family that just kind of like throw him off the rails. And that he was ever since. He just spiraled out of control. And so that was a guy that, I don't know about coaching, but just in a different world, a parallel universe or something, where something like a tragedy like that doesn't happen in his life, maybe we're talking about a different Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I actually honestly forget about Jamarcus Russell. I know that seems weird, but I honestly forget that he was a prospect. He was the number one overall pick, and he was out of the league so fast, it just was like, I don't even remember him when I think about Big Bust a lot of the time. And definitely a lot going on there. What else do we got here? How did you feel about Paris Campbell for Ohio State? I've read that people think he can be an X wide receiver in the league, but we don't know too much yet. Yeah, we don't know too much yet because, and I'm looking this up as I speak, but I'm trying to recall. I'm pretty sure Paris Campbell had like 6 catches coming into the season or something, and then he had like 6 last night. So, okay, he had 23 catches coming into this year, and last year he had 21 catches. I don't even know if that's actually right. I'm using collegefootballreference.com, but anyway. He hasn't done very much yet in his career, but at the same time, the tools are there that everybody wants to see. I was kind of talking to Trevor about him before we hit the record button, but he's kind of that really fast, athletic with good size receiver, but refinement at the position and like understanding and leverage and releases and routes and all that kind of stuff. That's where people are going to really need to see the growth, I think. So if you're one of those guys that gets hyped about an athlete, I think he's your guy. You could see his speed last night. I mean, he was really impressive. You're a refined player at the position. I don't know if he's there yet, but again, we got a long way to go. Last year, he was just kind of an ancillary piece to that whole offense. So you didn't get to catch any of the college football games last night, did you, Trevor?
I did not. Nope. Sitting in the press box.
Yeah,
I got to follow my Twitter feed a little bit during the game, and I got to see people panic that Indiana was keeping up with Ohio State. And then, as Ohio State always does in the late third quarter, they somehow turn a 21-20 game into 49-21 or whatever it was.
Yeah, we'll discuss some of these college football and some of the NFL outcomes as well. But for you guys, ever since we started this podcast, people always ask for advice. You guys ask questions on Fan Fridays, and sometimes I get questions about what team to bet on this week, and I don't know a lot about it. So people ask, you got Patriots or Steelers, Chicago or Detroit? So let me tell you guys this. When you're betting, where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. So that's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts, seriously, just 2 business days. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners. It's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. Here's what you got to do. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Use the promo code LODRAFT to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. What were your impressions from what you heard about or what you saw last night around the NFL, Trevor, in terms of those games? I mean, to me, there was a lot of different matchups going on that were interesting to me, but we didn't get to see a ton of some of the rookies. We're already hearing rumors about some of the higher-end picks that could be cut or have been disappointing, and Danelle Pumphrey, one of those names. Is that a little bit surprising to you? Or,
I mean, the Pumphrey's going to get cut or what?
That it seems like Pumphrey might get cut. I don't want to bury him just yet, I guess. But
Pumphrey was a great college running back. But I mean, let's face it, like the dude's
169 pounds is not
so
ideal.
Against, So I don't know. I obviously, because all the games came on at the same time, I wasn't able to watch a lot of highlights of them. But CJ Beathard, also the GOAT.
What?
apparently.
It's peak preseason when CJ Beathard's out running 11 dudes.
Like, what? I don't even know what to think about that. But
don't think much.
It's been a weird preseason, I think. And just from the Bucks' perspective, this is a team that had so much talent. going into the season, Cutter's a guy who, their head coach, he's a guy who kind of like wears his emotion like on his sleeve, if you will. Like, he's not great at lying. And so when they ask him, when he is mad, like when Cutter is in a mood and you ask him a question, you will get a real answer from him for the beginning before he realizes that he can't say what he wants to say. And so, like, they asked him about the preseason, like the performance and everything. And he basically said, this is a quote. I think he said, "Preseason football is the weirdest thing I've ever been a part of." He's like, "I coached in college for 23 years. I've coached different levels of football. I've seen other sports and how they play. Preseason football is the weirdest thing I've ever been a part of," he said, "because you have these games that you play where winning the game doesn't mean anything. And more so in football than it is in other sports, because there's not so much full speed contact. It's basically like you're not even playing the game." And so I tweeted out last night, the Bucks had an abysmal preseason, like awful. If you don't count the fact that they're relatively really healthy going into the year, which is actually, you know, the main success. But beyond that, like play and performance and everything, they were terrible. Had the worst points per game in the league and only 3 offensive touchdowns. And so, like, as I thought about that and I watched the preseason unfold, I was like, I don't even know if the Bucks actually played football this preseason. They just kind of like sleptwalked through it all. And when I heard Cutter say that, what he said afterwards, it makes sense. And that's why the preseason is so weird, because every head coach handles it so differently, because there is not a common goal. It's not to win games. It's to like see how good your roster is and help you make cuts, sure. But like Cutter's main goal, he said, just don't get hurt. That's it. I don't care. I don't care about anything else. Just don't get hurt. And if that is your main mentality, and you don't have any game plan, and you're not really trying this and that, you're not really like going outside the box because you're afraid you're going to get hurt, you're not even playing football anymore. So like, what's the point of the games? I don't know. This kind of opened my eyes a little. I'm already not that big of a fan of preseason games. But hearing the way that Cutter handled this preseason and watching it unfold made me even more standoffish to it, just because now I know how different teams take the results and like how you approach these 4 weeks. So that was my little rant there. So I didn't plan on going off on that, but there you go.
Well, you needed to get that off your chest, it seemed like.
I guess so, because I did tweet that the Bucks had an awful preseason. I had a lot of Bucks fans tell me, like, it doesn't matter, all this stuff. Like, the Lions went 4-0 and then 0-16. And, like, okay, I'm fine, but I still watched the first team Bucks pass rush be terrible. So, like, what am I supposed to do with that? Am I supposed to really think that you're not playing football for 4 weeks? Because if that's the case, then I'm just going to throw everything out the window that Cutter ever does as a head coach in the preseason. Which, if that's the case, then fine. But it was just really weird for me to watch for the first time. If they do, in fact, flip this switch and Miami looks totally different and the preseason truly does not matter at all, I'm not talking about the results. I don't care about the results. But you can still watch how players perform and get little hints of like, they kind of need to do something a little bit different here going into the regular season. And if they can really flip that switch like that, because that's the main concern that I've heard the whole time. I always argue preseason games don't – like. They're so unnecessary. Like, who cares? And people are always like, well, you can't flip a switch on. Well, according to the Bucks and the way that they practiced over the last 4 weeks, or really just played in games, I'm thinking that Cutter thinks that they can just flip a switch, because they didn't really play football over the last 4 weeks.
So we'll see. We'll see if their strategy works
right.
Or not.
That's why. Like,
I don't think you need 4 games. I'll say that. I don't think you need 4 games. Like,
I don't think so either.
But – yeah, I've long said you don't need two. But, I mean, in the fourth preseason game is always the best, because, like, everybody who sucked all preseason, like, suddenly looks amazing. Like, did you happen to just look at the box score from the Patriots-Giants game? It was ridiculous. You know how, obviously, Jacoby Brissett's been like, are we going to cut him? Are we not going to cut him? You know, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes and throws, like, 4 touchdowns for, like, 400 yards last night. And I was like, wait, what? And then I think combined – Josh Johnson and Geno Smith have also been absolutely god-awful this preseason. I've had the unfortunate displeasure of watching the Giants preseason games, and they've been horrible. And last night they had like 3 incompletions between them. And they completed like 85% of their passes and threw like combined like two or three touchdowns, didn't have any turnovers. I was like, So, I mean, everybody looks good week four. If you're anybody, you look good week four. That's it. Let's put it that way. So it's always the most skewed game because everybody's like, oh my gosh, look at this guy, you know. John Ross got hurt last night. That's never great. He continues to be kind of that shake your head. Why did you take him in the top 10? I get it. I mean, I guess if he's healthy, I get what he can give your offense, but given his size and the fact that he needed a little refinement and then his injury history being as significant as it was, man, it just seemed like a risky pick in the top 10 when you need as many things, especially on the offensive line, as Cincinnati did. So that's looking like a weird pick. We'll see what happens with his knee. I hope he's okay, obviously, because he's definitely a good player. Like, he's a player I want to see out on the field, but seems like one of those risks right now that may not pay off.
When people were talking about his stock, man, all they talked about was his speed, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And all I kept saying was, I don't care how fast he runs, he can't outrun that injury history. And it's his knee again that's coming up, and that's just not good.
Yeah, I know. It definitely does not seem to bode well for the future. What else? One other thing I wanted to mention last night, what was it? Oh, the Broncos quarterback race? The humorous part about all this is Trevor Siemian has his people somewhere. I don't know where, but somewhere. Paxton Lynch obviously had his people. What's his face? The guy you liked, Chad Kelly.
What's his face? How dare you?
I just did that on purpose. But Kyle Sloter has been the guy, right?
I don't know who that is.
I don't. You haven't followed this at all in the preseason. Kyle Sloter's been good. I don't even know if I'm saying his name right, but I don't think he is going to be good, but he has been good compared to the rest of these dudes. 15 to 23 for 220 yards last night, a touchdown. And there were some impressive throws in that bunch. So it's just going to be funny when Chad Kelly, well, he's obviously spending his first season on injured reserve, but then when he's like waived injured or
that when he's a starter.
Yeah, when he's waived injured, it's going to be really interesting to hear your reaction. I bet a lot of people will probably tune into the podcast to hear how you you cry maybe on air. Last night, your boy Kalen Ballage did some good things, though. So, in the midst of Chad Kelly about to be cut and Rodney Adams about to make the Vikings roster and Samaje Perine not winning the starting job and – oh, wait, sorry. We're still on. But Kalen Ballage has done some nice things, so you can take some solace in that, right?
Man, just burying me.
I'm picking up where the Bucs fans left off.
You want to talk about Mason Rudolph or no? We're only doing
– Oh, shoot. Okay, all right. Let's talk about Mason Rudolph. He shredded the vaunted Tulsa defense last
Hell night. Yeah, he did.
What do you have? 20 of 24, which is actually – his biggest issue is not in – doesn't have anything to do with the opponent. It's just him being inaccurate and missing everything from 5 to 15 yards. But – he was 20 of 24 last night, and that actually does bode pretty well on paper, at least. So I'm excited to get to the tape. 303 yards and 3 touchdowns, no picks. And actually, this Justice Hills kid continues to catch my eye. He's only a sophomore, so we're not talking about him as a draft-eligible guy. But, dude,
he's good.
He's exciting. I'm legit kind of, like, pumped to watch him develop because he's, like, my kind of back. Like, shifty but also mean. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, he plays like one of my kind of dudes. But James Washington was good last night too. Somebody
We're
was
all
like,
shocked.
Yeah, he had this one deep shot that the corner like looked like he was straight drunk and he just fell over, and it was underthrown by Rudolph, but Washington like kind of waited up for it and then the corner just like kept running and fell over. I was like, okay, this is Tulsa, but yeah, those were good performances last night in the Ohio State game. Mike Weber's going to have a hard time getting the amount of carries he got last year because this J.K. Dobbins kid is
–
wait till you – I don't know if you saw any of the plays or the highlights on Twitter or what, anything, but
– I didn't get to see any of the plays, but
– 29 carries for 181 yards, true freshman.
I saw the stats, yeah.
5'10", 208 pounds. He might be a little shorter than that, but still, he's stocky dude. His cuts were crazy, so I'm real excited to check him out moving forward. And we talked about what Paris Campbell did and how that was really good. Also, the Ohio State defensive line dominated last night. I don't really expect Ohio State's defensive line to look quite like they did last night in every game. I think Indiana had like 5 yards rushing or something like that. They threw 65 times, Indiana. 65 times. Ohio State secondary, definitely some concerns. I thought Denzel Ward played overall a positive game. The rest of the group definitely had their struggles, but I thought Denzel Ward did some good things. And then, of course, I have to mention Simi Cobbs, man, because I tried to tell you about this dude sometime when we were doing wide receivers, like back in June.
It's a big name.
Yeah, it's not. And he was awesome last night. I don't know if you get to see it, type in Simi Cobbs on Twitter and watch some of the catches that he made. And then when you pick your jaw up off the floor, like, send out a little tweet apology. 11 catches for 149 yards and a touchdown last night, though, for him. And I'm excited because I think if they throw the ball that much, he can really emerge as a legit draft prospect, because I think there's a lot of ability there. He just needs the opportunity to shine after being suspended and hurt a lot last year. So lots of good takeaways from the first week end of college football. We'll have more, too. This weekend as games happen, I'm sure. Will you be catching any of these games this weekend, just a couple?
Yeah, just, you know, yeah.
One or two, maybe
taking
Florida.
The entire weekend off.
Who's Florida play?
Oh, dude, come on.
Some clowns. Oh, yeah, shoot. I forgot.
Come on, man.
All right, well, when you take that L, we'll come back and we'll talk about it more on Monday, and we'll talk about the rest of these games as well. I actually hope Florida wins that game, to be honest.
You and I are about to suit up for Florida if they keep suspending players, so.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Wait, they don't have Scarlett. Do they have Callaway for this game?
No.
No Scarlett, no Callaway?
No Scarlett, no Callaway.
Are they going to score a point?
A bunch of other freshmen won't be there either, so.
What the heck, dude? How bad is this going to be? Like, take the under?
At one Michigan's point, not going to score. At one point, it will cease to be football.
Okay, so it's bad.
It won't be great.
Right. Sounds good. Sounds good. We'll talk about those games tonight. We got Washington and Rutgers. Oh boy. And we got Utah State and Wisconsin. There should be two bloodbaths tonight. Take the over, boys. But yeah, we'll come back Monday. Got more college football to talk about. Excited to do it. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. Keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.